All right, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
It's so good to see all of you. So good to see your smiling faces. It's good to have all the men together. This is great.
Yes.
Ready to go into battle tonight. Turn your Bible to John 15. This has been our theme scripture this year for our church, John chapter 15, and we'll say a few things, talk about a few things in John 15 here. So tonight, I don't have like 3 points in a poem or, you know, do some, you know, funny stuff up here or anything like that. I just want us to walk together as brothers, okay? So tonight, we're just going to walk together and just discover some of the things that God has had, you know, want us to see, some of the things that are in here, so that for us to see clearly what God wants us to do. So if you're there, 15, verse 1, let's read together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone who does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away, withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Amen. Amazing scripture. You know, every time I read this scripture, I get new things from it. It's amazing. You know, the Old Testament, the vine, you know, refers back to Israel. You know, it talks about the choice vine. It talks about the noble vines. Right? It talks about the remnant of Israel as the vine. And then the vine dried up. The neighbors to sit under the vine. You know, all the vine in the Old Testament was talking about Israel and how it dried up. And Jesus coming here, when he said this to the crowd, he says, I am the true vine. People get that. People are like, you, what? You are the true, I am the true vine. You know, Jesus comes and stake his claim as the true vine. You know, when he says, I am the true vine, meaning there are false vines, right? If I'm the true vine, there must be other vines that are false. Yeah. So tonight, we're going to be interactive here. What are some, you know, false vine that people are into or attached to, or maybe perhaps you were attached to a false vine? What are some false vines out there? What do you guys think?
Social media.
Social media, okay.
Praying Jesus into your heart.
Praying Jesus into your heart, right? False vines, Joe?
Prosperity gospel.
Yeah, prosperity gospel, right? We hear that all the time. Who else? What are some false vines?
Just the company you work for, networking within that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else?
Politics.
Politics, right? False vines.
Professional sports.
Professional sports, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big billion-dollar business, you know? Jason?
Different religions.
Different religion. false one. Tommy?
Relationships.
Relationship. You know, how can I have this perfect relationship? You know, I think, and those are great. You know, I think about the American dream vine. When I came over from Laos, we were a poor family. And my dad was like, you got to get an education. That education was your way out. And you know, I had this dream, okay, I'm gonna go to school, get good grades, go to college, graduate, make lots of money, and retire in Florida, you know? That was my goal.
Amen.
It was a good goal, but yeah. That's the American dream vine, right?
Yeah.
But think about success. You know, we want to be at the top of whatever we're, you know, where we're at work. Some people, that's all they want to do. They want to climb the ladder to get to the very top. The success vine. You know, educational vine. There's so many vines, but Jesus says, I am the true vine. Everything else is false. I am the true vine. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus, you are the true vine? Everything else, every other vine is false. I am the true vine. You know, the statements that Jesus made says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right. Right.
These are bold statements. I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
I am the light of the world.
Okay.
I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And I am the true vine. You know, these statements are just, you know, that's what we said before. Either he's a lunatic or he is the Christ.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Right.
You can't make these statements and be, you know, be like us. You either have to be a lunatic or you're the Christ. And he is the Christ. And I think what he's saying to us is, I got you. I got you exactly where you're at. I am the true vine. Just stay attached to me.
Amen.
Stay attached to me. I am the true vine. You know, I don't know about you. There was a show. I don't know if they're still it's on, but they call it MTV Crib. Right?
Okay.
And so what they would do is they would go into like these celebrity house. They have a video camera and they're going through the house and, you know, look at their swimming pool and their cars. And, you know, so they go through the house. They even go through the refrigerators. I mean, they open the refrigerators and like they got like, you know, just ice creams or whatever that's in there. You know, and I used to watch that show. I'm like, man, if I can only have that house, that would be amazing. If I could just have that pool or those cars, you know. And I, you know, your heart started going towards that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, man, if I can just have this, if I can just have this career, if I can just have this house, if I can just get this car, if I can just get this spouse, if I can just, you know, have these kids, then I'll be all right. Right? But, you know, do you believe that you've all been blessed?
Oh, yeah.
You're blessed.
Yes.
Now, what are some blessings that you have? Look, what are some blessings?
Your children.
Children is a blessing. Exactly.
I can use all my limbs.
You can use all your limbs. Blessing. Dan? The wife, right? Amen. Go ahead.
Life
itself, it's a blessing. You're right.
My health.
Your health, it's a blessing.
Job.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Being in this country.
Being in this amazing country. We are blessed. Gary?
Friends and family.
Friends and family. Anybody else? What are you being blessed?
I have my wife's kidney.
Amen. You know, those things are great. And those things are amazing. And it is a blessing. You know, but to me, I'm blessed not because I have a great job, not because I have a beautiful wife and kids and house, friends. I'm blessed. Think about this. I'm blessed because I'm being pruned. I am blessed that I'm being pruned, you know. I'm either cut off.
Yeah.
You're either cut off or you're being pruned.
Yep.
I don't want to be cut off. So expect to be pruned then.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, he's still not done with me when I feel that, when I'm still being pruned.
Amen.
God's just saying, you know, I'm not done with you, John. I'm not done with you.
Right.
I see a vision for you. I want to give you something more. I have a chance to grow and bear fruit. You know, we were in South Carolina. We went to a vacation about 2 weeks ago in South Carolina. And we always stop at, you know, rest area. You know, we stop at rest area and we go to the restroom. And, you know, my youngest daughter, she's like, "Dad, come with me." So I'm like, "Where are you taking me?" So she leads me down this path. And we get down there, and it's the vending machine, you know? It's this humongous vending machine. And she's like, "Here we are, Dad." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So she goes up to the vending machine, and she's looking through it. She's like, sour worms. And I'm like, "So you want me to pay for it, right?" She's like, "Exactly." So I go in there, get my money, put in there. And she punched in the number, right? And you know that thing spins out? And it's about to get stuck. I'm like, "No! I'm shaking this thing. It cannot, you know, that means I got to put in more money." And you guys have lost money at these vending machines, right?
Right.
And you're just like shaking this thing. Yeah, and the rest of it. And so, but I think sometimes for us, God can be a vending machine. We can go down there and say, put our little money in. "Oh God, I've done some good deeds this week." Or I've helped this week. I've served this week. Wow. And you should give me what I want. Uh-huh. The sour gummy worms. And God can be a vending machine. You know, he can be like, I'm going to do this, and you should do this for me. And sometimes when that thing is not almost, you're like, "God, come on, man." Shaking that vending machine to make sure that thing drops. And God can be a vending machine if we're not careful. That we think God owes us something. You know, but it's not about getting material things or getting the good life here on earth. Rather, it's about getting spiritual fruit, he says, to bear fruit that will last. Let's look at Galatians 5 here. Let's look at some of the fruits here. Galatians 5, verse 22. Let's read. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." We'll stop there. This is love. Who does not want love? We all want love. We crave love. Joy. We want joy, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be joyful. Peace. Man, I want peace. I want to be able to lay down my head, just be peace, be at peace. We want peace. Patience. I need patience. We need patience. I think sometimes the two scariest things we pray for, I know for me, is "God, help me to be patient." I mean, he always answers that very quickly. And "God, help me to be humble." He answers that very quickly too. We want patience. Kindness. We want kindness. We want to be known as kind. A kind person. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. This is, against these things, there is no law. There's no law to say, "Hey, you can't love. You can't be too patient. You can't be too kind." There's no law against such things. This is what we want, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, but the thing about the fruit of the Spirit, I every time I read this is what I get. And I don't know about you guys, but the first thing, two things that I feel when it talks about bearing fruit, is one is, I am happy that God still believes in me, yes, a broken person, that he wants to use
very
me.
Good.
You know, I'm happy. But the other one, I feel pressure to bear fruit. I feel pressure that I must prove to myself, I have to prove to people that I'm a disciple. You know, we had this thing, or and we'll talk a little bit about it, but this is the two things that resonate to me whenever I read the scripture. It's about, okay, I'm happy that he can use me, yeah, but at the same time, I feel this pressure that I need to be a disciple. You know, pruning. God has been pruning us throughout our lives. You know, for me, I have gone through several things that I know God is pruning me and continues to prune me. I think about my marriage. You know, we're married for 19 years now. But I think, you know, at the very beginning, I have to confess, I know nothing about getting, you know, the opposite sex. I don't know anything about how to make her feel happy. You know, I remember our first fight. This is our first Christmas together, right? So she said, "You can give me anything," which is hard. This is impossible. It's a trick question. And so, right? So I'm like, "You can get anything." You're like, okay, well. So, but this is what she said. "Give me anything but shoes." So the knucklehead that I am, I went out, and I'm like, my wife, she likes to run, she likes to walk, and she has all these shoes that are all worn out and holes in the shoes, and I'm like, "Honey, you need new shoes," and what did I do? I went out and bought her shoes, right? So we're there sitting on our couch. Opening presents, right? Uh-huh. And I opened mine. I was like, "Oh, this is awesome. This is great. Thank you so much." And like, here you go. Here, open it. And she's like, "All right." She starts opening this thing, right? And she looks at, she takes it out. And she starts crying. Yeah. And I'm like, "Is this tears of joy or tears of regret? What is this?" And she starts crying, and I'm like, what's happening here? And she like, "Honey, you didn't listen at all." I'm like, "What do you mean? You need shoes. You like to run. You like to walk." And she's like, "No, I told you I don't want shoes. And the only thing you get me is shoes." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're right." But it's amazing that God is pruning me at that time. He showed me how prideful I was and how selfish, how arrogant of me to think that the only thing she requests not to buy her is the only thing I bought her. And I was, you know, and I've made plenty of mistakes, but I think it's growing. God is pruning you. Pruning. Are you going to let God prune you? I think about my kids. God is always pruning with my kids. Showing me how I need to be patient with them.
Yeah, right.
You know, my daughter, she just turned 14, and she's about to be 15. Today, she's like, "Hey, Dad, let's go driving." I'm like, "What are you doing?" "Wait, let's go driving? You can't even see over the dashboard yet, you know?" Like, but I'm having to relate to her in a different way. I can't command her anymore. She's 14. She's about to be 15. I have to turn into influencing her and helping her to think and not commanding her like she's a two-year-old anymore. You know, God is pruning me, pruning the way I parent. I think about my mom and dad. You know, my dad passed away about 5 years ago, and my mom is still living with me. And just dealing with their health. You know, just dealing with mom and dad who's at the, you know, having health issue and just getting older. And how do I do that? And there are days I don't know how to do that. But God is pruning me. Are you patient, John? Are you trying to help your mom and dad with all of your heart? Pruning me. You know, think about my finances. Finances is one of those things that can just be a dark cloud over you. You know, when you're just going through hard times with finances, right. It's like, "Man, I just cannot get over it." I remember a time when we were so in debt that our lights were being turned off, our gas was being turned off, my wife is with our baby at home and it's turned off, and I'm like, I just can't seem to get out. You know, the more I try, the more I get deeper in debt. And I remember praying, I was like, you know, finally I got down on my knees, like, "God, help me. I don't know what to do." And that's when everything changed.
Wow.
That's when everything changed. Amen. You know, I went to, you know, I've told you this story many times. I went to work and my boss said, "Come inside." I'm like, "Oh man, this is not good. This is the president." You know, the president said, "Come inside, let me talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh, man." I go in, he says, "Sit down." So I sit down, and he hands me over a check. And I'm like, "What's this for?" He's like, just want you to look at it. I opened it up. I've never held that much money in my hand in my whole life. Wow. And I'm like, what's this for? He's like, you know, I started this company, and I'm selling it to some investor, and I just want to appreciate those who started with me. And I called my wife. I said, honey, you got to come get this check before he changes his mind. You know, like comes and get this check, deposit this check before he changes his mind. And I remember, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did pray. God, help me. I don't know what to do anymore. And you know how sometimes God answers your prayer and you were shocked? That's silly, right? God, you pray and God answers your prayer. You should just think. You should just expect. Here you go. Pray. And expect. God is pruning me, and he's still pruning me. Amen. With that. Let me ask you guys. What is God pruning you right now? What is something God is pruning you right now that you know? Tracy?
My health.
Your health?
That means some things I got to change.
Yeah. Our health.
Just leaving the home. An example. Mm-hmm. A wife, a kids, just being an example.
Yeah, being an example at home. Terry?
Taking action when I hear the word.
Taking action when you hear God's word. Todd?
Relationship with my younger son.
Shoot.
My addiction.
Addictions. Mm-hmm. It's pruning you. Joe?
Perseverance.
Perseverance, right. God is going to prune us. Anybody else?
Using some filters, just sharing things that I need to be mindful.
Yeah. Being able to use, you know, have filter and have Jonathan.
Transitioning, to graduation and then back to.
Yeah, God is putting you through different situations.
Chat. Just consistency, you know, fake and ban, rich or poor, sickness and health.
Yeah.
Being consistent.
True.
Patience.
Patience. Yeah. And I think sometimes if you're not in tune with what God is doing, you miss it. You know, God is trying to prune us all the time. You know, we are in a season of pruning. But I want us to think about pruning as not a negative thing.
Amen.
It should be a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because what that means is you're still attached.
Yes.
Right. You're not cut off yet. Mm-hmm. You're still attached.
Amen.
That's why you're being pruned.
Right.
Get excited. Our fellowship should be, hey, brother, what is God pruning you this week? Oh, let me tell you. God is pruning my anxiety. God is pruning my stress. God is pruning my the way I treat my wife. I think we should talk about pruning. What is it that God is pruning you? Because if you're not aware of it, then you might miss it completely.
Amen.
You know, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Just apart from me, you can do nothing. You can try. It's kind of like people spinning their wheel, you know, in the mud. You can just gas it and it just keeps going nowhere. It's like without, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, but our human nature, sometimes when we're in sin or when we're endowed on, you know, faithlessness, we tend to run away, you know? When we offend people, our human nature is, we want to hide. I don't want to talk to Zach. I've offended Zach. I want to hide in my corner. You know, I don't want to fellowship with so-and-so. You know, that's our nature when we hurt. But I want us to think about these two guys. I want to think about, you know, first guy is Judas. Judas, you know, Jesus called Judas friend at the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, friend, do what you came to do. Now Judas, nobody else is, you know, naming their son Judas, right? I don't see a bunch of people, hey, my son is Judas Iscariot, gang, you know, like, no. You will not hear anybody name their son Judas. But you think about how it's so bad to betray the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to betray the Messiah. It's so bad, but yet Jesus called him friend. And what did he respond? He went out and hung himself and killed himself. You know, I believe that if Judas would have just repented, Jesus would have brought him back to be in fellowship with him. But he chose to go the other way. He ran away. He ran away from Jesus and hung himself. Now think about Peter. Peter disowned Jesus 3 times, right? And he says, when he saw Jesus, he went outside and wept bitterly.
Right.
Jesus, you know, Peter was scared of a little servant girl. You know, a little servant girl said, hey, you were one with him. He's like, no, no, no. He started calling down curses on himself. Peter, I think he's as bad as Judas. He disowned Jesus 3 times. When he said, Jesus, I would be with you. I don't care if all these guys leave you. I will never leave you. Jesus, you know what? You're going to disown me 3 times. And he did.
Right.
But the thing about Peter is when Jesus, you know, they were fishing, they'd gone back to fishing, and Jesus says, hey, bring some of that fish. He says he knew it was the Lord. He jumped out of the boat, and he swam towards him, came towards Jesus, because he knew that there was always love for him over there.
Yeah.
See, the two differences here. Judas responded very differently. When he offended Jesus, he went out and hung himself. Peter, on the other hand, even though he disowned him 3 times, he swam towards Jesus.
Right.
Now us, with our sinful self, our sinful nature, and when we sin, do we run away from Jesus? Or do we run towards him? Are we so guilty that, you know, Jesus, I've offended you so much that I'm not going to even deal with this anymore. Like Judas? Or like Peter? When Jesus reinstated him. And he became a leader, a pillar in God's church. Jesus, remain in me. Are you remaining in him when it gets hard? When you fail? Do you stop coming to church? When people call you, do you not pick up the phone anymore? Do you not come to family group leaders meetings anymore? Do you not come to your family group leader because you feel so guilty? Like Judas? Or do you run towards Jesus and the people that God has put in your life? Do we run away from Jesus? Or do we run towards him? You know, verse 9 here, it says, now remain in my love. You know, this whole thing is about love. It's about love. The reason why I don't cheat on my wife, right? I don't cheat my wife. It's either of 2 things. One, it's a rule of marriage. When you get married, you don't cheat on each other. That's a rule, right?
Amen.
Number 2 is because I love her. Which is it? I don't cheat on my wife because I love her.
Amen.
Not because it's a rule that I shouldn't do this. If you love God, you want to follow him more and more.
Amen.
And more.
Amen.
You share your faith because you love him. Not because it's the church rule.
Right.
Not because somebody's going to ask me about it. You serve because you love.
Amen.
You tithe. You tithe, brothers, because you love.
Amen.
Not because, oh, this budget this and this budget that and we can't make our budget and all this stuff. Like, no, 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 no. You tithe because you love.
Amen.
Not because you have to.
Amen.
Family group meetings. You go because of love. Not because, well, this is what the leadership wants, or this is what we're trying to do in God in the church here. You go because of love. Because you care about your brother and sister. You want to be part of it. You know, the one another relationship. You have them because of love.
Amen.
Not because people instituted that. Not because we have, you know, people are going to ask me about it. Because I need it. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. We need. It's not about rules. You know, when it becomes too burdensome, you think about it, you know, when it comes too hard to obey, you got to check your level of love.
Amen.
When you become burdensome and hard to obey, check your level of love. Do I really love? Or am I just doing this because it's the right thing to do?
Amen.
This is what a Christian should do.
Amen.
Love more, not do more.
Right.
You know, I've heard this expression lately. It's called fake it until you make it. You know? Fake it until you make it. I'm like, I don't know how to fake it until I make it. It doesn't work in marriage. You know, honey, I'm going to fake loving you until I make it. It doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work with God. We can't just fake it until we make it.
Sure.
You got to get your heart engaged.
Yeah, right.
You can't just start faking it and hyping it up. Oh, man, okay, I'm going to get there. You're not going to get there.
Nope.
You're going to get somewhere else, but not there. Love God. You know, I want to leave you guys here. What is it that will grow my love? I think I want to leave us tonight. Like, what is it that will grow my love? What can I do that will grow my love? And let me, and I'm going to ask you guys your list. But this is just my list. Just a few things on my list that helps me to grow my love for God. All right? This is just a few things on my list that helps me to grow in love with God. Number one, see God's creation.
Yeah. Amen.
Go out and see God's creation. Go to the mountain. Go to the lake.
Yeah.
And just sit there and just look out. And you'll be amazed.
Yeah.
My goodness. There's nobody that can do this.
Mm.
This is amazing. Look at this thing. Look at God's creation. I like driving late at night and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I love that. I drive out to Kula. Now, the Kula is like, you know, towards the end of Gwinnett. But it's like, you go out, you drive, you're like, man, this is, it's just, I feel like I have God all to myself. Everybody's asleep. God, you're going to hear me now. And you see the stars?
Yeah.
You, it's just darkness.
Yeah.
And it's just you and God.
Amen.
Helps me to grow my love.
Amen.
Grow my love for God.
Yeah.
I think about being with brothers.
Yeah.
Getting together with brothers. Talking about what's on our hearts.
Yeah.
Grows my love for God. Appreciate what God is doing through them. See the things that God is doing with them. We've been talking about safety. You know, it helps me to have safe friends that I can talk to. Grows my love for God. Meditation on a scripture. You know, you ever seen those scriptures and you read it 1,000 times? You're like, oh my goodness, this thing just stuck out.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you just, I just sit there and just stare at it. And I'm just like, I can't believe it's here. And it's meditating on that, letting that just sink in.
Amen.
Grows my love for God. You know, or for me, it's to have tears for people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time in my life where I did things because I knew it was right. I did things because that's the right thing to do and or what people expect me to do. And we're out of the country, and they have in Thailand, they have this thing called, right in the middle of town, it's a huge statue. It's a golden statue. And people will walk around it to worship this huge statue. And my heart was so hard. I was like, you know, I gotta do something. So I went and sat down by the statue and just watched people walk around it until I finally shed tears for these people. Have you shed tears for people? For their soul? For people who are lost? Their marriage is in shambles? Their kids are addicted to drugs? Shed tears for people. I think we gotta get in touch of what's really happening. Sometimes we're in the kingdom for so long, we kind of lose touch of the world. You know, we come here and like, hey brother, how you doing? It's great. We kind of lose touch of what's happening around the world. People are dying left and right. They have no hope. Do we shed tears for them? Helps to grow my love. What are some things, you guys, that helps you to grow your love for God? What are some things?
Putting away distractions, you know, figuring out what those distractions are that are keeping you from, being more devoted or being more devoted.
Yeah, putting in distractions.
I think for me, sharing stories about victories, you know, like you know, personal victories or just stories that you, you know, read on Disciple Today or just seeing God move.
Yeah.
And things that, that are miracles.
Yes.
In somebody's life, things that they never thought would happen.
Yeah.
But are evidence of God working.
That's true. That's true. What up, Dan?
Just confessing sin, truly repenting.
Yeah.
Having people pray for me because the longer I hold on to it, it doesn't get any better.
Right.
It's a barrier there that, you know, keeping me from feeling like I can approach God.
Yeah. And brothers, I think that's something we don't do enough. Right. We don't confess it enough. I think we're all in the same boat, but yeah, we're all like, I'm all right. I don't struggle with pornography. I don't struggle with lust. I don't struggle with laziness. We're all in the same boat.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Let's confess our sin so that we can have some healing. Who else? Right. How do you
I think connecting with God's grace on a heart level.
Mm-hmm. On a heart level. Yeah.
I love listening to audiobooks, especially from like Puritan pastors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Stop.
I think being grateful and particularly reflecting on the time that God's delivered me different hardships, hard points in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody? How do you grow your love?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about confessing sin, but I think just confessing the temptation of sin and talking about the things that you battle with every day. And we got to start there before we can start confessing sin.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely true. Let's start about the temptation. What's strongest here?
I think getting together in smaller groups and just, you know, praying together or talking about scripture or whatever. It's great to get together in church, but when you get together in smaller groups, it's a lot more personal and get a little deeper into things.
Right. You get to know that person deeper than you would in a big group like this.
Sure.
How else? Well, how else do you grow your love? Terry?
I think me really comes out when I start singing songs.
Singing.
You just really meditate on what the words mean.
Yeah.
That really helps me.
That's true. That's true. Malachi?
I was about to say the same thing. Really just songs that connect me with God, that make me really think about what he's done for me and connect me with his love, with his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much he truly, truly cares and loves for me.
Yeah, music is an amazing thing. Yeah.
Just sitting down and really counting every blessing I've received from God.
Right, right. Yeah, we don't do that enough, you know.
I like to write.
Right.
Yeah, but not just think out what I'm doing in my lifetime, but really put it into words what I've been thinking about for the last few days.
That's true. That's true. You know, when I first got baptized, I came out of the water. I went back to my dorm. I was at UGA at that time, and I wrote down exactly how I felt that day. Like, God, thank you so much for saving me. And I wrote down, like, you know, maybe a page and a half. And I've kept that letter. And every time when I struggle, every time I'm like, man, I don't want to do this, I take out that letter and I read it. And it's like, okay, I understand why. And I think sometimes we need to write those things down.
Mm-hmm.
Say, this is exactly why I'm going to keep going. And you know, like I said, the true test of discipleship is time.
Right.
Cause you're going to go through some stuff.
Yep.
You're going to go through the desert. Are you going to make it to the end?
Come on.
It's like, you're going to go through some stuff. Are you going to make it? You know, I talked about, you know, Francisco was talking about. I think there's stuff that we need to turn on, and there's some stuff that we need to turn off. We need to turn off our videos. Nothing wrong with playing videos, but is that consuming your life? Computers, our tablets, our phone, distractions. You know, people say, they said that if you check your phone within 15 minutes of waking up, you're an addict to the phone. You're an addict if you check your phone 15 minutes after you get up. I'm like, am I an addict? That's a, you know, that am I an addict to my phone? You know, Jesus says to remain in me. You know, and why does it matter? Because it says in verse 11, he wants to give us joy. He wants to make our joy complete.
Yeah.
Why does this all matter? Because he wants to give you joy. That no matter what happens in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter the pruning that you're getting, because he wants you to have joy in your life.
Amen.
He He wants you to have a joy. His method is pruning. Do you appreciate pruning? Do you run away from it when it gets hard? Are you allowing God to prune so that you can grow, so that you can bear fruit? We don't want to be cut off.
Amen.
We want to be pruned. God is pruning. Let him prune you. You know, if you are going to remain in the vine, you have to be pruned.
Amen.
You're the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And if you're going to remain in me, I'm going to have to prune you.
Amen.
And it's not going to be pleasant, but it's going to be great. At the end, you'll be filled with joy.
Amen.
You'll be more like me. I think that's what we want.
Amen.
So tonight, brothers, I encourage you. I don't want you to just hear this message and then go home and do nothing about it.
Come on.
I want you to go home and think about, okay, how can I grow my love?
Amen.
How can I grow my love for God? Do the things you did at first. What can I do to grow my love for God? Don't let this thing fall on deaf ear. Hey, John, that was great, but I do nothing. Go home and grow your love for God.
Amen.
Let him prune you.
Amen.
Be aware of what he's doing. And be in touch with what God is doing. Let's pray.
Amen.
God, thank you so much for loving us. Father, you are everything to us. God, there's nothing that we desire more than you. God, there's nothing that gives us more joy, more hope than you, Father. God, we live in a very sinful world. The sinful nature is waging war on us. God, help us to run to you and not away from you. God, help us to love you deeply. Help us to remember that you're always pruning us and trying us to be more like you. God, thank you so much for the men here. God, I pray so much that you encourage us and inspire us to live our lives for you. At home, at work, everywhere we go, that we would be the beacon, that we would be the light to the world. God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for your word and how powerful it is that it guides us and helps us to be more like you. God, thank you again for this great day. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.